Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. And I'm your host, J. Mark Horst. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Many lives are being changed by the power of the gospel. Last time we were together here on Hope for Today, we were studying Luke chapter 12 and verses 35 to 48 under the title, Ready for the Master. As we studied, we learned this text contains several emphatic admonitions that show us the importance of being ready for the coming of the Lord. The first admonition we looked at was the blessing of vigilant expectation. We learned that an essential part of being ready for the Master was to expect Him. Verses 35 to 40 of our text begin and end with this idea of readiness. Now, there are two more admonitions in this text that we want to look at in just a few minutes. But first, let me read the scripture text, Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 48.
Let your waist be girded, and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us, or to all the people? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And to that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare himself, or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For every one to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. The second admonition Jesus gives is the reward of diligent application. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and asked for a room. The clerk said, Sorry, but we're full, and so are all the other hotels in town. But then he added, I can't send a fine couple like you out in the rain. And so he said to them, Would you be willing to sleep in my room? The couple hesitated, but the clerk insisted. The next morning, when the man paid his bill, he said, You're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the United States. Someday, I'll build you one. The clerk smiled politely and wished him a good day. It was a few years later when that same clerk received a letter from an elderly man recalling that stormy night, and asking him to come to New York City. a round-trip ticket was enclosed. When the clerk arrived in New York City, his host took him to the corner of Fifth Avenue and 34th Street, where he saw a magnificent new building. "That," explained the man, "is the hotel I have built for you to manage." The man was William Waldorf Astor, and the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. The young clerk, George Bolt, became its first manager. His faithful service was rewarded with greater responsibility. This second admonition that Jesus gave comes in response to Peter's question, "Lord, are you talking to us or to the whole multitude?" Jesus, the master teacher, responded in one of his favorite ways, by answering a question with another question. Jesus' question was, "What kind of man is a faithful and wise one who the master will appoint as his steward over his entire household?" Faithfulness and wisdom are highly desired qualities in servants. It was common in the households of the time that some servants were responsible for others. As one of Jesus' inner circle, Peter's responsibilities were greater than the common person. That fact is underscored by Jesus' mention of rewards in verse 44. Notice with me that, like the earlier parable, the master is absent. Verse 43 tells us that if the servant was faithful in his responsibilities while the master is gone, he is rewarded by becoming steward over all that his master owned. It's a reminder of Jesus' words in Luke 16:10, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much." And Jesus pronounces a blessing on all who are actively fulfilling their responsibilities when the master returns. My friend, that promise of blessing extends to you and me today. You have been entrusted with time and talents, financial resources, and more. What are you doing with them? Are you a faithful and wise steward who will be rewarded by your master? Are you diligently applying yourself to the responsibilities the master has given you? Your choices will affect your eternal rewards as you diligently apply yourself. The final admonition is the warning of negligent dissipation. Notice the contrasting word in verse 45, "but." In contrast to the diligent servant, we have the negligent servant. This servant's choices reveal an attitude of carelessness. "Ah, the master isn't coming for a while yet. I'll get ready closer to the time of his return." So he begins to mistreat his fellow servants and to live a dissipated life. It's a life that's characterized by living for pleasure. It also carries the idea of scattering. This servant made his personal pleasure his highest goal. His life was filled with gluttony and drunkenness, the refusal to deny himself any perceived pleasure. So feeling good became the consuming passion in life. And you see from the text how that affected his relationship with his fellow servants. Because his focus of life was all about his pleasure, he began to abuse others. This is the logical consequence of living for self. It causes a scattering of relationships. Most normal people will not remain in relationships where they are abused. As tragic as those consequences are, they pale in comparison to the eternal ruin of such a person. The master will return unexpectedly and catch this servant in the midst of his dissipation. Jesus used very graphic terms to admonish his listeners on this point. He said the negligent servant would be cut in pieces. The Chaldeans, the Romans, and others were known to do this, literally. And even if Jesus did not mean for us to take it literally, it signifies the terrible punishment that awaits those who are unfaithful. To be cut in pieces, if that meant the end of all suffering, would be merciful indeed. But Jesus went on to say that the negligent servant would receive his wages, punishment with the unbelievers. That's for eternity. And then imagine, too, the shame of that unfaithful servant. He had been honored by his master by being entrusted with the oversight of his possessions. And yet he had squandered them, and now he faced humiliating punishment. In the final two verses of this text, Jesus reminds his listeners that privilege increases responsibility. Here's the answer to Peter's earlier question. Peter and the other 11 had been given a unique privilege in serving as Jesus' disciples, and as such they bore a greater responsibility for knowing and doing their master's will. The multitude gathered around them had a responsibility too, but it wasn't as well informed or defined as that of the 12. Now, as you reflect on this reality of being ready for the master, it's important that you consider each of these admonitions. Admonitions demand a response. You either heed them or you ignore them. Your response to Jesus' teaching will set in motion a series of choices, followed by their inevitable consequences. If you are vigilant in your expectation of Jesus' coming, you will live in daily preparation for that event. Your life will demonstrate the reality of your relationship with the Master. It is because you love and appreciate Him that you will be ready instantly to answer His summons. Your vigilance will also result in diligent application of the resources the Master has entrusted to you. You will understand the goods you have belong to Him and they're to be used for His advantage. You want the other servants to experience the goodness and generosity of your master. You see your fellow servants as partners in this responsibility of faithful stewardship, and so you treat them with respect and dignity. And Jesus said, "You will be given authority in the new kingdom." But if you're living for self and for the pleasures of the moment, you're headed in a very dangerous direction. If you're preoccupied with the present, that will lead you to negligence about the future, and you will most likely live carelessly. According to the words of Jesus in our text, that will not end well for you, especially if you know the truth and refuse to act on it. Friend, Jesus is coming. That's a fact. So make your choices wisely and make them today, so you can be ready for the Master.
My friend, were you blessed by this study? If you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Ready for the Master. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Ready for the Master. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533 to request a free copy of this teaching, Ready for the Master. It's available to you either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.